lovely people. Welcome to yet another week of our podcast. I'm Noreen.
I am Amanda.
And together we are
Love Is It.
Where the U is for you. Hello, people. We are here. It's us. I don't know. I am I'm beyond exhausted by this whole weekend, so bear with my lovely energy levels. It is officially Amanda's birthday.
Whoop, whoop.
Your level of excitement is worse than mine, like right now.
I am exhausted too, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. What did you get up to?
I had a party. It's not even a party. I had a small gathering of 15 people.
Are you trying to be COVID-friendly with your statement?
No. It's not even COVID-friendly. It's just, like, literally, it was a really small gathering with a few people. And it was also like, because I recently moved, so some of them wanted to see my place, right? So it became a...
It was a housewarming slash birthday party?
Yeah, birthday dinner. I feel like party sounds like it was... Yeah, so...
Am I too bougie to like think of a dinner as in like you're going to like set a table, whereas like you're saying a gathering is people come eat and just hang out rather than like a dinner. I'm expecting like the full nanyad.
Yeah, your brain is too bougie, but it was still dinner. People came and had dinner at my house, so it was a dinner. Like, shout out to my mother for being the chef. She did well. And yeah, so I'm grateful I didn't have to cook, so I didn't really cook anything. So that was good. And my cousin stayed over and helped clean, so that was even better because I woke up today and the house was spotless.
Oh, that is very sweet of her.
Right? So it was like I didn't have, but I was exhausted. And the funny thing is, I didn't even drink. And I feel hungover. And I'm like, is this my age catching up with me?
It is your age catching up with you.
You're not helping. But
I mean, how long? Like, if we were to tell how long the party was, is it like the wee hours of the morning? Because I think in as much as we sleep late, sometimes it's not the same level of engagement.
That's true. No, but in the morning we went to the workout session thing.
Oh, you're saying the day off we had a. I think she's calling it dance athletics or something.
Yeah.
And it's like a 30-40 minute workout, intense workout that we do.
Yeah. And so then I came home and I was like, I wanted to have a few of my favorite things that I used to enjoy in my childhood. So I tried doing that while I was cleaning the house, while I was trying to get my hair to look like I wanted it to look, trying to get my face right, you know. So it was
like, we're going to get a picture of this. Are we getting a picture of this?
Maybe, you know. So I was like, everything just...
You all know I'm about to post this, right? Like, I don't know why she's trying to, like, downplay maybe business.
Like, the whole entire thing seemed like a lot. But when I was at the party, I didn't feel like I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the tiredness more so today, where I was like, okay, God.
It took you out for yesterday, the whole day, and then today's day too.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to reset in a full day.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that my birthday is literally like today. I thought my birthday was on Tuesday. Like, this is how ridiculous I am.
I remember you saying that Well, we're doing dishes the other day when my mom asked, you're like, it's on Tuesday. And then I was like, I think it's the 17th. Like at 12, I was like, it's the 17th. I don't know why she was talking about Tuesday.
Like, I was convinced. So I'm like, I remember somebody was asking me, they were like, oh, so when is your birthday? I'm like, it's on Tuesday. They're like, oh, so okay, so we're going to for dinner on Tuesday. I was like, yeah. And then today, my aunt in Africa, because it's already my birthday,
Yeah, 8 hours in here.
they're sending me messages. Oh, happy birthday, Amma, we wish you all the best. And I'm like, wait a
Who
minute, why are they a whole
are
day early? And I'm looking at the, and I was like, oh, so my birthday is on Monday.
Your birthday is now. If you miss it, that's on you. It had nothing to do with anyone else.
Also, my age is showing. It is not great. And shout out to the people that told me that I should lie about my age because I still look young. I don't look as old as I am. Shout out to you. I'm still gonna tell you my real age so you can see that black don't crack.
Okay, then. Okay, sorry. Sorry to us and our grandmothers.
My mama look young, so if I got half her genes, I should be all right.
You will be all right. Yeah, so sounds like an interesting weekend.
An exhausting weekend, to say the
Oh,
least, but
I was gonna go with a interesting.
it was fun. Like, I actually had fun. Like, because I used to drink a lot of the time, so I don't think I was actually present in most places.
But also, I think you're trying to make it seem like you're like a straight up alcoholic.
No, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I was a social drinker. So to combat my anxiety and just not even anxiety, just I have this thing that I'm just weird when I'm in a group of people. So I would drink, and that would ease me in. But like to actually be in a space and not to drink and actually try and have fun was really interesting, and I did have a good time. So I'm like, maybe we don't need alcohol after all.
Has it ever been a need or is it just a want? I also think sometimes it just keeps you busy.
I think it keeps me interested in people. Just you know what it does? It keeps.
Interested in people.
Like, in the sense that like everything is in slightly entertaining, because
You have a different level of patience.
a different level of tolerance. So I'm
Yes.
like, whereas in when you're sober, you notice everything, you see everything. But I think I actually was like, I at around after you left, I literally put my phone away and I was like, let me be absolutely present and mindful in this space that I'm in and actually enjoy myself. And I did that. And it was like, okay. So first
So
of
I had
all,
not told the people that I left, but apparently I left people. So, okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. But okay. She was there. She was there, but she didn't stay until 2 a.m. like everybody else. So I took my phone away and I put like literally, I didn't turn it off, I just put it away. And I said, let me be present. Let me be, trying to practice that mindfulness off. Because I never usually celebrate my happy party.
Snapchat says otherwise, okay?
Never actually, my mother threw me a 21st birthday party. I go out for dinner, your bougie-ness, but I never have like an actual like birthday party at my place or whatever. I know you were gonna say otherwise, but
I'm sorry. We went to the horses last year. And then we had a
that
gathering after, and then we also had a dinner party that turned into two locations.
one
Can we stop downplaying this whole you don't
oh
have a
my god.
party?
No. It wasn't a, was it a party? It was okay. This one was literally a party that was bland. No, yeah, a party. Fine, we'll call it a party. That was planned a whole month ahead and was like, this is a party at this place. Where is
Well, the
it?
horses were planned way longer than a month ahead.
This, but the horses were like a bougie event that we've always wanted to go to. You know what I mean? It's
And
not,
it fell on your birthday.
yes, it was, I had fun and there
Fine. I
was
guess what you're saying is you wanted like that basic Zimbabwean party where they'll give you the cake, the coke, lama, and the biscuits and the chips kind of thing.
Yes, I wanted to
Okay.
go back to my childhood with money
Okay,
and home in my head.
I will keep quiet then. I will stop with my bougie self. I will stop with my bougie self.
Thank you for catching yourself.
Well, I guess that's that. Is there any insights to the new year or any plans? Do you even make those things or think about that stuff?
Okay, so yesterday apparently I said a statement that people didn't realize that. Anyways, the statement was, I don't want to be Miss Independent anymore, okay? Which I don't think I ever was, but apparently I needed to clarify for the whole room that
Okay.
this
I guess
new
this is very interesting. As someone that was not here to hear this statement, do not know the context. When we say Miss Independent, are we talking about you being in a relationship and wanting to have someone that you rely on? Or are you wanting to, what are we talking about?
No, it wasn't even in the context of a relationship. So it's just like apparently I've always been this strong black woman, whatever thing, and
When?
I don't know. Okay, just people be talking. So I said, first of all, I am not strong. Yes, I am black, but I am not strong, and I don't want this in Miss Independent identity pinned on me. I cannot be a dependent on somebody, first of all.
I feel like that has to do with like the typical perception rather than what it is. 'Cause how do you become independent if you haven't been dependent?
Right. So, but like with this new year, I guess I'm not wanting to be a strong black woman. I am not wanting to be Miss Independent. I am not. I am all about, the opposite of whatever people thought I was.
Well,
That.
I don't know. We're yet to find out. I look forward to like having more of these conversations and finding out how Miss Independent looks like and how that's going. But I think that's a perfect segue to what we were going to be talking about, the lovely perceptions that people have, specifically perceptions of what Zimbabwean people are, or stereotypes about Zimbabweans that other Zimbabweans have about each other. So, yeah, it's interesting how that's how the world has always seen you, at least the people that are saying that. Whereas for me, I don't think I've ever seen you as Miss Independent. I've seen you as someone that if they need to, they will pull up their socks and get their shit done. But it's not like I am doing all this by myself. I don't need nobody. And maybe that speaks to my understanding of what Miss Independent is, right? Yeah. So we asked people on our Instagram to tell us what stereotypes they have out there about other Zim people. By Zim, I mean Zimbabwean. I'll most likely either say Zim or Zimbos because I'm lazy and it is past midnight here. So I'll give some context. I was going about my business. Like, I'm forever minding my business. Like, don't know if that's always true, but and
The best you can.
the best that I can, right? Like trying to do me, trying to stick to my lane kind of thing. And this person says, Zimbos are just too much drama. P.S. This person is also from Zimbabwe. So I think the typical structure or thing that usually happens in Edmonton is people either move from Ontario or move from Montreal, Quebec, and come to Edmonton. So when you're new to Edmonton, people tend to feel like they're on this cloud where they're above everybody else, and they're like, oh, Zimbabweans are so much drama. I don't want to hang with Zimbabweans. And it had me saying, they have so much drama, so what? Because do they truly have so much drama? or is that how you perceive them? But also, is it we're trying to say we are living in a world where you're not going to be interacting with people or have conversations or have situations or run into some struggles with people? So you're going to be like, oh, I'm not dealing with Zimbos because they are full of drama.
I actually hate that statement.
I don't get where it comes from.
I kind of understand what it is, but that doesn't mean I agree with it. You know, I think that as a society, whether you're Zimbabwean, whatever culture you're from, there is a certain level of drama. So for you to pin it only on Zimbabweans, not only does it look bad, and it also says something about you as a Zimbabwean, because you are also a Zimbabwean. So I used to say that there was a time where I really didn't want to hang out with people from my community because I felt like they were always in my business. But also, for people to be in your business, you have to be sharing your business with them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody comes into your business without being invited. They can be invited, but you have said something.
You've kind of given them like a leeway into your business.
And then the older I grew, the more I realized that whatever I say about Zimbabweans, it goes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I say, whenever I bash, whether it's another black person or whatever, it goes back to me. Because I'll tell you why I realized this. I had a white roommate, and we were talking, and she always had questions about black people. And me being me, I will answer. I'd be like, you know what? Some black people are trash.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was an okay statement to say. And she said it back to me. And I was like, excuse you? But and then she was like, but this is what you said. Then I then realized that whatever I say about my people also comes back to me.
So it's almost like one of those things that you become what you say, or even the you are what you eat kind of thing, where depending on what you say about yourself, that's how you're going to end up being perceived. Yeah, so you're kind of attracting that energy.
Yeah, and also you're giving other people that are outside of the community the right to go around spreading these stereotypes and saying, oh, as I met a Zimbabwean person who said, Zimbabweans have drama, therefore it must be true.
You must be full of drama.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what does that mean? And I say this to say, unfortunately, both fortunately, I grew up here. And for me, I really look at this as like my playground, which means people are going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they're going to make whatever judgment that they want. That's on them. But at the end of the day, had we been in Zim, I would grow up in whatever, I want to say township. What are they called? Neighborhoods now?
Yeah.
Whatever neighborhood you grow up in, and people would have like their understanding of who you are within the neighborhood. But then you'd also get an opportunity to either get out of the neighborhood and get a new slate. But here, we haven't had that opportunity, because whatever went down in Montreal when you moved to Edmonton came with you. Whatever went down in Toronto, you always be, oh, Noreen, that one. Oh. That one, that one.
I think that we are guilty of not allowing each other to grow.
Very much so.
We were like, she did this when she was, and I feel like I meet people who remember me when I was in high school, when I was 18, or when I was
quote unquote. We're gonna talk about DJ Cleo.
Quote unquote going. I don't even think I was going crazy, but at that time I was experiencing life the best that I knew how.
You were growing,
I was growing, and most people still have those ideas of me. They still believe that's who I am. And
well, and I think there was never room for like rites of passage. right? And I'm not saying this to like spotlight anyone, but when someone says that, they usually do, right? But it's like someone saying, oh, so this person showed up dressed this way and they did this. And I was like, yeah, I've also done that. I've also been through that. So for me, I'm not judging that person because they're going through that. I'm going to understand that depending on where you are, you're going to look at that differently. And like you said, we don't allow each other to grow, because it's like if I were to say, oh, today I am this is where I am, I've grown, people will be like, whew, you mean I should go to Noreen for therapy? the one that got drunk here, the one that did this, the one that has this drama, what is she going to say to me? And it's like, I get it. I get that. I went through that. But I have grown, and you are holding on to the person that I used to be, not the person that I am, therefore not giving yourself an opportunity to actually get to see me or understand me
or with the way I am. Or experience the person that I am now.
Yeah. Well, and people usually see and think, like, based on the things that we either post or whatever, people make a judgment of, like, I think these people are this way. Like, I find even the whole idea of, like, I'm bougie. I'm probably the least bougie person. But if I buy the things that I feel like are important to me, that's for me. If I just want a certain level of quality, that's me. And I am sorry, but I've also been spoiled at it from a very young age. So,
who do we talk to? Your mother?
You might need to talk to my parents. You might need to talk to people that have quote-unquote loved me, because those are the ones that spoiled me. So if I am not accepting anything less than I am sorry. But I think that gets me to the next stereotype that was highlighted, that Zim women love money.
Who doesn't love money? Show me a person who doesn't love money and I'll show you a liar. Like, next question.
Well, okay, this always comes up when it is in the dating situation where people say, oh, I don't want to date a Zimbabwean woman because all she cares about is money. All she wants is a guy that's going to provide her with money. But also, money makes the world go round, one. And secondly, how do we actually intend to survive if we don't put that?
No,
but I understand that sometimes people feel like Zimbabwean women, which is another one, prefer Nigerian men because they can quote unquote buy them certain things and quote unquote treat them a certain way.
Okay.
But I think that comes down to how you treat someone and how they receive love rather than money.
But also my thing is, you come, when you approach, this is something that people need to learn. When you are meeting a slay queen,
can we please explain what is a slay queen?
I'm sorry, guys. I do not know what is happening in my neighborhood. Do you hear this?
I do.
I don't know what is happening. I think there are wolves out there. I should close my window. Let me close my window.
Okay. Well, while Amanda is doing that, I am going to say, you love whoever you love. But also, I am not about to be in love. And I don't know how hot it is today, but it feels really hot. And I'm not going to be in this love situation when we're hungry, when there's no AC, when I'm worried about bills. Clearly, love doesn't exist the same way in that situation. However, I have been with people that make less money than me. And that didn't bother me. I don't know if it bothered them, but it didn't bother me.
Okay, I think, first of all, I'm back anyways, but the thing is, when you meet somebody, let's say the person that you approach, you see the way they dress, you see the way they carry themselves, you ask them what they want to eat and what they want to do, and they tell you the things they would like to do. And based off of that, you are going to judge whether this is...
that fits with you or not.
Yeah, with you and your budget and your lifestyle or not. And if you choose to pursue that person, quote-unquote, Zimbabwean woman, but I also think that these stereotypes are typical stereotypes of people we're just labeling them to Zimbabwean people. Like, there's men that are like, women are only interested in money.
But also, okay, first I'll define what a slay queen is. A slay queen, according to thingy, is someone that presents well put together and has certain standards and want a certain lifestyle. They typically, and I don't want to stereotype here, they typically look a certain way. There's a waist to hip ratio. That's my brother's definition. There's like the type of hair that they have, lifestyle that they want to lead, right? And then back to what you were saying. People are not going to seek out someone that they don't feel like they're either interested in or want to get to the same standard as. And secondly, if you are attracted to me because of how I physically look, and I'm attracted to you because of your money, why are you then calling me a gold digger when you're also gold digging my looks?
That's the point. I'm like, so you knew that this person had certain standards.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're coming and they are asking you to meet those standards. Like, yeah. If you found me in a certain lifestyle, keep me in that lifestyle.
Oh, I agree with that statement. Like, I think earlier on in my 20s, I used to say, if you are not coming to elevate me, please leave me at my mother's house. Like, I did mention this, that I've been spoiled from a really young age. So if you're not going to either, like, meet me or take me to the next level, amens, leave me the hell alone. Like,
but there's a few people in my life that always complain that women seem to only be interested in money or seem to only be interested in sex. And I always ask, what do you present and how do you approach these women? Because if you approach somebody and tell them about how much money you make or what you can do for them.
I hate that. I really hate someone that starts off with like, so I've got money.
But okay, at the same time, when you say you got money, what is the expectation that the person you're talking to is going to have? That you're going to take care of everything when it comes to money.
Well, and then they say they've got money, so that I think it's also a conversation thing. So I cannot get you any other way. Can I buy your love? Mm. And people don't say it directly, but that's what they're actually saying at that moment.
Then I'm like, you are presenting yourself with the money, and when it becomes a requirement for this relationship to survive, it becomes an issue. Or all of a sudden, I love money.
Of course.
It doesn't make sense. Make it make sense.
No, it really doesn't make sense. It's how do you expect... Okay, let me put it this way. People don't usually like to be told the truth from the get-go. And then when you do tell them the truth and what you expect, they do this thing where it's like, oh, yeah, cool, that's good. Expecting that when time goes on, you're going to adjust.
Yeah.
And then that sets everyone up for failure. Because that's the thing. And this is another stereotype. I love how I'm like getting this out of the way. It's like Zim girls are crazy.
What does that mean?
Well, we are quote unquote crazy because either someone clearly tells you what it is that they want or who they are, and you don't believe them from the beginning. And when you don't believe them, the only thing, and I think this has to do with the lack of language, the only word you can think of to describe the situation is you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
More than it is about what the action is or what the behavior is. It's a lack of language of like, what is it that you're trying to understand? I think I've said this before. Someone said I was crazy because I asked them to wash their hands. Because apparently that was taking away his peace. I don't know why it would be a problem for me to ask you to clean your hands. I think that's a basic thing. Anyone needs.
Men have been calling women crazy from the beginning of time. And I am saying this to to also highlight that this is not only a Zimbabwean issue. This is not something that people just say about Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
It is like a universal thing that people have all these stereotypes, whether it's about their own communities or about a different gender, a specific gender or a specific religious group or whatever. And then because people question you,
mm-hmm.
and they want to understand why you do the things you do, doesn't mean they're crazy. If you break somebody's heart and they react a certain way, that doesn't mean they're crazy. That means they're angry.
Mm. So it's the lack of language and words to better explain. And I think the word crazy has been used to minimize someone rather than actually understand them in that particular situation. Because I'm even thinking about... Go ahead.
It could also be gaslighting.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because then I don't have to take accountability if you're the crazy one and there's nothing wrong with me. Whereas I am not just going to be acting. I'm actually responding to the things that you are doing as well. And how am I crazy? Like, I feel like I've been told, I love you're crazy. And it's like, which crazy are you talking about? Like, what do you mean by I'm crazy? Are you saying I have radical ideas? Are you saying that my free spirit is quote-unquote crazy?
I dislike when people call me crazy. I dislike it. I'm like, no. I'm not
crazy. You refuse to, like, take it in?
No, I'm not crazy.
Well, it is a fair statement, because at the end of the day, how... We're also downplaying, right? Like... Is it because it says you're crazy, uyahlanya? So then it's a direct translation?
It could be that.
Right? More than it is about the other, like, crazy. Because I don't know, when you say crazy, I get this idea that you are basically saying that I am not enough. And you're saying that the ideas or the thought that I'm having or the experience that I'm having is invalid.
I usually think I'm like, it feels like I'm being irrational.
Mm. Could it also be you're outside of the norm?
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, for most of my life, I've been told I'm outside of the norm, and mm-hmm. I've been okay with that. And if that's what you're trying to say, say that. Don't call me crazy.
Remember the previous episode to this one, we're like, who wants to be that vulnerable? Maybe it's just too much for someone to actually come out and say, I don't understand you right now, and this is something that's different that I'm not used to.
You know what? I have people that have said that, and I've appreciated that. They're like, you, and I also hate this. You're different from other girls. Why are you comparing me to everybody else? But okay, we'll put a pin in it. But they're like, the way you think is not, like, I guess, quote-unquote, the same as other people. And I'm like, if you really think about it, I think it is. It's just how I express myself. I express myself freely in most cases.
Yeah.
And some people might not express themselves in the same level that I do. But if you, in the big scheme of things, I am not that different from the next person.
So it goes back to people assume, make up stories about you just based on how they see you and how they perceive you.
Or how they are experiencing you. That doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah. It's about how you make sense in the rest of their story as well, right? Yeah. It doesn't make sense for me to say, Amanda is not crazy if Amanda is my crazy partner. So I'm going to have to, like, clamp her into this idea so that my story makes sense.
Mm.
It's not even about who she is. It's just about, in the story that I'm telling, what role does this person play?
Mm.
And how do I want to make sense of them? Because this one says... Zim men cheat.
Who hurt you?
So instead of zimmership or cheat, or you have to say Java is trash. Java is trash. It's not all South African men are trash. You cannot put everyone together.
This is okay. So one Zimmen, wait, maybe I don't know, maybe two Zimmen cheated on you. First of all, that's not a reflection of you. That's how trash they are. But also, not all of them. Let's not box everybody into this one box. Let's name the two that cheated, or the three, or however many that cheated on you, and leave the other ones alone.
So then, is it the same when it comes to Ndebele men don't cheat? So if it's a positive, we can clump them together, but if it's a negative, we
Oh,
don't.
even the better men didn't cheat on you.
No, but I'm asking, if it's a positive, is there such a thing as a positive stereotype? That's what I'm trying to
I
get
think so. I do think so. I can think
at. Okay,
of
so
one.
if it's a positive stereotype, it's fine.
I
If
don't. I really don't think so. I really don't think so. One thing I've learned is that all of us as human beings are trash. And so I'm like,
So when
but
2 years,
some.
his mom said all African women can cook and they make really great wives and they can throw it down, and I would love for my son to have an African woman. That was okay, or that was not okay?
Okay, first of all, the time and space that we're in, that was an okay statement. But in reality, not all African women cook and do all those things, right?
That is very true. That's why I'm asking,
So
that how do we balance the stereotypes, and is there such a thing as a positive stereotype?
there is a positive stereotype, like saying all African women would like cook and clean and take care of whatever household, whatever. That is a positive stereotype that is out there. But like at the same time, if you are not an African man coming into this, now you expect, oh, you're an African man, you're expecting this African woman to do all these things. And she's like, hell no. You have to understand that stereotypes are based on on other people's experiences. It doesn't include everybody. It doesn't mean everybody.
But you know what's, it's not funny. What is actually true about what you just said is if you are not Zimbabwean or non-African, when you do the bare minimum, the whole village is clapping hands.
Thanks.
Like the whole village is like, oh Lord, she kneeled down. And then if I don't kneel down, everything about me gets erased.
That is true. You're not Zimbabwean enough.
I'm
You're
not
not.
Zimbabwean enough. I don't have any brotopsy. I have no home training. How dare my parents raise me this way, where I don't know that I have to
Raised
kneel
you?
to a man? And it's like, would you like my resume? Because there's a lot more to me than just me kneeling, and there's a lot more to me than my outside accomplishments. But also, why does that have to go and be part of how you see me as an individual?
There is a culture in the Zimbabwean culture that I feel like I don't even think it's a norm, because I feel like it's what people would like to be done, like it's like if you're gonna come to our
It was
family,
also something that happened back in the day,
that's what I
in the
mean.
environment, in the context that it was, as a way of showing respect. But I think also the way we show respect has evolved and has changed. I have someone's mom as a colleague, and I struggle at times. I want to call her by her first name because that's what everyone is being called. And then I'm like, but you're someone's mom. So then, what do I do? I was saying this to someone the other day, that I call your mom Mangwenya because that's what you call her. And you call my mom Masalo because that's what I call her.
Yes.
So then it's a sign of respect, but anyone else coming in could come in and be like, well, how dare you not call her mama? And how dare you not kneel and have
Yeah. You know what's funny? I went to a meeting with my mother the other day that we were working together on a project. And we get to the meeting. I'm like, oh, Patricia is going to speak. And then this other girl is like, isn't that your mom? I'm like, yeah, but here she's a colleague. And everybody's looking at me. I'm like, I'm not, if we were in a professional, somewhat professional environment, I'm not going to be like, mom, mother. Like, no. I'm like, Patricia, and everybody, I'm like naming all these older people by name. Mm-hmm. I'm like, at this point in time, we are
in your old age.
This is your name. Like, yeah. Comfortable being called it. Like, I don't understand.
Embrace it.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not disrespecting you in any way. I just called you by your name. Why is that difficult to understand?
But, you know, going back to that idea of, like, we don't let each other grow. Like, I called someone's father by name, and I don't think the whole family even wants to engage with me because of that. Like, hello, it was the one situation. If you're not comfortable with it, you'd be like, hey, I'll prefer that you don't address me this way. If you have to address me by name, call me this.
That's true.
We move on. We grow from it. Mm-hmm. But if you hold on to that, then you don't get to actually experience the person that I am.
But I also am okay. Sometimes I feel like not everybody needs to experience the evolved.
No, they don't. But you know? It's just an example of, like, we hold on to stereotypes, but also we hold on to who people used to be and not actually allow them to grow. Because even the idea, like we're talking about how Z men cheat, name who the person is. Don't generalize it to everyone that all men cheat. I understand that maybe in the last two or three relationships, what you have experienced is this. And I was arguing against this point, but I know it is a valid point and it has merit in saying, maybe you should go back on the drawing board and say, what is it that makes me attract these men that act a certain way? Do I keep dating the same person over and over again?
I just told somebody that and they looked at me sideways. I was like, first of all, it is true, right? It is always like, ask yourself, have these internal dialogues with yourself and observe, or if you need to journal, write down your experiences to construct and compare what is happening. What are mm-hmm. you doing? What are you not doing to see where you stand and what you might need to change or, you know, adjust or whatever for you to maybe get a different result from what you're currently.
Well, isn't that the definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing and expecting different results?
Yeah.
Right? Well, and the idea that Zim women are not loyal. Men's.
What is loyal?
Well, I started you on that one. What is loyalty, but also what did you do or what interactions were you having that led to this unloyalty? However Amanda is going to define it, how did we get there?
No, but what is loyalty? Like, at the end of the day, you're going to hurt. Like, I feel like sometimes people hurt you and they still expect you to be loyal. Like, the most important person that I have to be loyal to is myself.
So they are going to say Zim women are not loyal because they haven't been willing to just lay down and take it, which goes back to the stereotype of, like, how things used to be rather than how things are.
But I also feel like this is just like, now you expect me to be disrespected, to let you walk all over me.
Mm-hmm.
For you to feel like I am loyal to you?
Because, yes, because that's what you're supposed to do, because that's what makes, quote-unquote, a good woman.
Sit down somewhere.
But you know what? It gets us to this next stereotype. The mothers-in-law have to be mean to the daughter-in-law.
Yeah,
it was written as have to be mean to the mother.
Most black parents just feel the need to be mean for no reason. I'm not even going to say Zim parents.
Well, is it going back to that, you'll never be good enough for my son? No one will ever be good enough for my son. So I'm always thinking. But remember what I said, when someone from a different culture comes in, does the bare minimum that maybe you as a black female, you were doing even more than that, they are going to be applauding that person like Jesus just came down.
That is
Like,
true. That is true. But I just think that, I think that there's that waste, like you're never gonna be good enough for my child. And also, there's also that sometimes parents do not know how to express love.
so this is
And
about that attention. I'm giving you attention, but it's not the right type of
yeah,
attention.
and also
So
say,
I'm going to, what are we in grade school where like the
even
boy
parents
likes you, so
before
he's gonna
me,
beat you up?
honestly, because if you remember, there's parts where our parents used to tell us, I'm being hard on you because I love you.
So if the mother-in-law is not hard enough on you, she doesn't like you.
Which basically.
Can we people say what they mean and do what they mean instead of all of these things that like leave you more confused? Because then here's the thing. My take on that is, if as the mother you are like, oh my God, my daughter, how are you? How can I be mean? How can I be someone that's like, I don't care for you? I may not like you on a personal level, but I will respect you. But if you're going to be someone that's trying to play all these little games and making my life miserable unnecessarily, because at the end of the day, it's not going to look the same way that it used to look like. And I think that's the trauma that these are people that went through that, and they feel like now it's their opportunity to get things back.
Like it, since it was done to me, I have to do it to somebody
I
else.
have to do it to someone else instead of like breaking that and saying, no, it's not going to actually serve anyone or make my child any better by doing this. I'm thinking crazy rich Asian. She's like, oh, when I was getting married, Oma Appa, sorry, is that the right Oma Appa? Oma? Yes, maybe. Was she didn't like me, so then my husband had to buy a different ring. So I was making it hard for you, and you had to buy a different ring. But now that I'm respecting you, here's the ring. Sorry, my face is like giving this like,
But also,
are
like,
they
okay,
crazy?
with that example that you just used, I'm just gonna need all of the people that just keep on putting Zimbabweans in front of each and every statement that we just said to take it off. It's a people thing. Why does it, like, it's not unique to Zimbabweans. It
It
just
really
shows
isn't.
that these are universal issues that different people go through. The minute you keep on saying Zimbabweans, and more often than not, sometimes you're talking to people that are not even Zimbabwean. This is the perception that they keep on having about Zimbabweans.
But
Because
again,
I went to the butcher one day with my mother, and some guy who's not even Zimbabwean was like, "Where are you from?" And my mom's like, "Zimbabwe." And this man's like, "So which one are you? Are you Shona or are you Ndebele?" Me and my mom look at each other like, why does that matter? And my mom is like, why? He's like, well, because I know that there's two different tribes, and like there's one superior tribe than the other. Like, no. And this person is not even from Zimbabwe. And I'm like, because now we're spreading these things to outsiders, now they have this idea of what Zimbabwe.
Who we are.
And I'm like, see, I just want the meat. Can I go home?
Well, and also, like you said, the superior tribe and all of that. I think when we compare ourselves to other people, when we start to put those hierarchies in place, we are really opening the door for like a lot of things to happen that are not always the greatest. Because can you imagine raising our kids thinking Zim people are this way? Which I know there's already part of our generation that feels that way. Like I say, I grew up here, but I came when I was like a little bit older than where some people came. So I still identify with the Zimbabwean culture and will hang out with people. I don't care if people have drama. So what? When someone closes their door, I don't give two F's who was with who before who or who did what. As long as the two people are happy, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I engage in the gossip. I'm going to be like, oh, that happened. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, as long as the two people are happy and they have their thing, how is it my business? But it also doesn't ostracize the community to say, oh, I don't want to be Zimbabwean because Zimbabwean people are this way. Because that is the last thing I want from my niece to be saying is, oh, I'm not Zimbabwean. I'm not engaging with that side of myself because they have so much drama. Because Zimbabweans are alcoholics.
That's true.
Do Zim people drink? Is that the way that they engage? Yes. Am I going to address the fact that it could be problematic at times how much they drink and how they drink? Yes. But is it all Zimbabwean are alcoholics? No.
I'm like, people drink everywhere. Most people, like, outside of Zimbabwe, people drink. So for you to just narrow it down and say Zimbabweans are alcoholics, like, really? I don't subscribe to any of these stereotypes. And, like, a lot of the time when people are like, Zimbabwean people have drama, excuse me from this conversation. Do not tell me what you're about to say. Because whatever I say, you're going to receive it as drama.
Yeah, because as Zimbabwean people, alcoholics, who are you to diagnose people with that? And secondly, what about all the other things? Do you know how many Zimbabwean people are business owners? Do you know how many Zimbabweans are thriving in different sectors and doing so well in that? You're just going to focus on the fact that you went to a party and they were selling alcohol and people were buying the alcohol. Therefore, they are alcoholics. So we go from this idea of, like, I observed a behavior to this is the people's identity and this is who they are. This is their personality. Why?
Let's stop policing each other on how we should behave and how we should be. Mm-hmm. And let each other be. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I have not judged people, but I'm also in a space of, as much as I want people to allow me to grow, I have to do the same for other people.
It is very true.
And also, I'm like, if you want to have your cocktail, have your cocktail. I'm not here to look at you and convict you and say you are wrong for having your cocktail. If you want to engage in a little bit of drama, man, we all can be dramatic at times. Be dramatic over there with your dramatic people. Don't bring the drama to me, but over there, you know, whatever.
Well, also, I don't have to receive it as drama.
Right? And sometimes it's like, if I question you and I'm genuinely interested in what you're saying, that doesn't mean it's drama. It just means I'm curious.
Yep.
You know, or this is a new experience for me. I have not experienced that before, so tell me more.
Let's not forget that we have Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. It makes things transfer quicker than they used to.
Mm.
So people tend to be always reacting to things like that instead of actually responding. Because can you imagine if you lived in the village, by the time it got to the city, that Amanda was drinking, it would be so cold that no one would be interested.
I got drunk at a party. This was during my younger days.
She's finally talking about DJ Cleo. Okay.
Apparently, I've been an alcoholic ever since.
Oh.
And one thing that I want to say about that is people don't understand how language they use.
Mm.
Will be traumatizing or triggering to the person they're talking about.
Well, so, and how it's actually going to impact you in the long term.
Right? And I'm like, for somebody to say, Amanda is an alcoholic, if you knew me personally and you knew some of the things that I have experienced in my life and some of the things my parents or whatever have experienced, those are no words you ever use. Mm-hmm. To me.
to describe at all. Yeah.
To describe me, because you are aware of the impact they are going to have on me.
But oh, the fact that you have triggered something,
right,
that you're not going to be able to like smooth over by words.
Right. So it's like we keep on just, and I've been guilty of this, and just talking about people and saying, but this is my truth. This is how I see it, right? And it's like, yes, this is how you see it, but do you have to say it out loud? Do you have to tell it to the next person? And is it true?
And how? I think it also comes down to how do you tell it?
Right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying your truth. I think part of the downside is we haven't been taught how to regulate our emotions in a way that isn't. Did you hear? And then, and how dare she say this about me? And then this happened. And then this. So at the end of the day, it always comes off as if we are quote unquote gossiping, but I think we're trying to regulate our emotions. And sometimes we do it with the wrong people. And I'm going to say, even though everyone else looked at the whole Amanda is an alcoholic, that's actually when we became friends.
That's true.
Maybe it's because I was termed an alcoholic. If you ever actually saw me drinking, good luck. But or if you've ever seen me drunk, the people that have seen me drunk will never call me an alcoholic. The ones that have never seen me drunk are the ones that will say that. But everybody else that has ever seen me drunk is like, oh yeah, that really happens. But when it does happen, it's this way. And I was highlighting that to say, for me, it was like, yeah, that happened. Do we joke about it once in a while? Yes, we do. But that's not who you are. That doesn't take over everything else that you do on a day-to-day basis. In fact, it's something that we talk about as like the inception of our friendship, but it isn't something that has come to define you.
Sure.
The last stereotype, which maybe it's true. Like, I don't know. I struggle with this one. Like, this one is a difficult one. Like, that it is the law to send money to relatives back home.
I'm a local. Good night. First of all, where is the law? Who wrote this law? My mother taught me this, and this is one of the things that, one of the lessons that I really appreciate that she taught me. She said, my child, I know you love people back home, but I want you to create and build your own life before you start attempting to take care of other people.
Mm.
You are not at a place where you can afford to keep on sending money every month to support people who already have their own children, who are being supported by other people.
Oh, who support themselves?
Right? And she's like, you have to take care of you first. You can't worry about other people before you take care of you. And she even had to make phone calls to say, don't call my daughter asking for money. Because this is when I was younger. But she was like, don't call my daughter asking for money. I want her to build her own life,
mm-hmm.
which in turn ended up like breaking some of the relationships, which to me was like, well, maybe this relationship wasn't steady anyways.
It was never a relationship. Right? It was just a transactional thing. Yeah.
So I'm like, I appreciate that, because I'm like, for more, if you just only have your parents back home, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, second generation immigrants, it's not a thing that we have to worry about much.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I'm forever a professional student. If you see me popping bottles, if you saw me in Vegas last weekend on Facebook, that don't mean I have money. You know what?
This is another reason why I stopped posting my life on the social medias. Because it started giving people this idea that I have money, that I'm rich, to that even people that were sitting next to me who knew that I was struggling started believing that I had money because I posted me having some fun or me going on a trip or something. And I'm like, you know my bank account. How can you?
How can you all of a sudden think? But I think it comes down to, if you get on a plane and go overseas, the expectation becomes, where when you get off the plane, you are given this money and you are given an extra sense that everyone else doesn't have. So it is your obligation to share and give it back to everyone else in Zim. Like when I go to Zim, I don't actually even buy things for people. Like my presence is your present. If I take you out for dinner, that's enough. Like I'm not going out of my way to break my back. If I'm bringing someone something, it's because maybe we have a business deal that we're doing. It isn't I'm bringing you anything. And I think it has become a stereotype, but that is very true in the sense that it seems like all we do is work to give to someone else because we've been made to feel guilty for even having a little bit. And it's like we're not allowed to have.
No, but see, that's the thing. I literally, like, I hear that this is a stereotype, and maybe also because my mother taught me that I do not have to follow this. When I was in Zim, like, whatever I brought people, I brought people. Whatever I could give, I gave. When money, I was also, when I left, I was also a student. And it was like I hadn't worked in months because I was also doing my practicum placement, doing all these other things. And I'm like trying to explain to people that I am a student, and they're looking at me like I have two different heads. Like, even if you're a student, you're supposed to like help us. I'm like, no, I need help too. Like, but I didn't feel guilty for not giving people money because I didn't have it. And I didn't feel guilty for not bringing them everything because there's a two suitcase limit. Like,
even if it was 7 suitcases, you bring people something and they have the audacity to say, you didn't bring me anything. This is not what I wanted. I said I wanted Vans. I said I wanted Adidas. Do I look like I wear Vans or Adidas myself?
You can say whatever you wanted. I brought you whatever. What you do with it is on you. I just adjust my movement. Next time when I come, I'm not bringing
you. I write you in my black book.
I'm not bringing you anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even doing it to be malicious. I'm doing it for both of us to save each other headache. You wanted Vans. I couldn't afford Vans for you. So you don't get anything. If you don't complain about whatever I brought you, I might bring you Vans next time.
That's true.
It's also how you conduct yourself. I also remember telling my cousin. My cousin was like, well, you know, I've asked you for money a couple of times and you've never sent me money. And I said, listen, if every time I call or I talk to you, you're always asking for money, you're always struggling, guess what? I'm never sending you money.
Or the only time you look for me is because you need something.
Yeah.
It's not, no one has ever, like, I've gotten to a point too where when people ask me, I'm like, I'm in the same struggle as you, which is not a lie. Or people ask you and you're like, oh, I have a cold. They're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, I am human.
No, let me tell you, I had to tell, I said to them, what you have to do is, I know you don't care about my health. Pretend like you do.
Ouch. Just a little bit.
You might not care about how I'm doing, what I'm doing, what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend like you do.
Like, yeah, participate in the things that I do so that when you need something, I'm able to participate.
When you text me, the first thing shouldn't be, oh, I'm broke. How are you doing? How is the life?
So, that's, you know how, I guess, okay, I'm not justifying them. I think we're the same people that say, get to the point, be honest and say what you need to say. But also at the same time, I think maybe, and I know, you know what? I know very well that this isn't true. That maybe they only have airtime enough to say the business.
No, let me tell you something. I was in Zim with one bond. I was on the phone with you for a whole entire 45 minutes.
I know, that's why I said I know it's not true. But I'm trying to justify where they might be coming from. Like that, we don't know when the government might just like get rid of electricity.
WhatsApp status every single day, different ones, 3 or 4 times. You can
Yeah.
go to say, "Hey, sis, how is life?" And then hit me up with the you know what? I might need a
Don't
cab.
also hit me up. Like I have oh my God, I don't even know how to like describe him. I'll just go with like he's a really good, he was family, tend friend, really close friend kind of thing. And he never does ask for money. Like he'll just be like, oh, this is what's going on right now. And he will leave it at that. And he
You leave
said
it
to
at
me,
that too?
huh?
You leave it at that too?
Oh, sometimes I do. Because there's a difference between someone that needs help and someone that's just barely venting and processing and he wants to have a space where they can talk about it. That's it. I don't see it as like I am probing you. And one of the things that he said to me is, I very much understand where you come from and the experiences that you go through because he's in South Africa, right?
Yes.
So by being in South Africa, everyone else in Zim sends a message and says, oh, we need this. Or they only send a message when they want money. And he's like, if I do that to you, basically I'm perpetuating the same pattern.
That's true. I have a friend like that too, who said to, he's well off in Zim. He's doing very well. And when I got there, he said, "Put your wallet away. Don't worry about it." And you, I was like, he's like, "Girl, I know you're a student. I know you, because we talk throughout the year and stuff like that. Like, I know you're a student, and I know you're doing your practicum placement, and you're not getting paid for that. So don't worry about it." And it felt liberating, because everybody else in my family specifically had put away their wallets and was like, "The Canadian is here," which. And I don't blame them for this, because I feel like this is something that most people have encouraged in a way. I'm saying that because you're in the diaspora, you have money. So, but it felt good to be outside where somebody was like, "Girl, I know things are hard, and I got you." You know, I didn't let him pay all the way through, but it was just a little bit, like a little bit of a break from what I was used to.
Well, and there's a difference between someone that says, I'm taking you out and we're actually enjoying each other's company, than someone who literally comes, and this is a true story. Like they took transportation from wherever they were to come and say, oh, we're hungry. And you're like, oh yeah, I already have some chicken thawed out, and then I'm going to like make some sichuala with this. And they're like, so you have time to do that? We were thinking you're gonna take us to Ocean Basket.
No. No, I will cook for you what I cook for you. Are you
Right?
hungry?
Like what I give you is what I'm able to give you.
You are not hungry for food. You're hungry for Ocean Basket.
Oh, don't you know? Don't you know that the moment you people do touch down Otambo in December, like all the money I have for the year or anything that happened,
I
put it to the side.
was very lucky though. Like, when I got to South Africa, like my family, all of my family members took care of me. In Zim, my friends took care of me. You know, I only had to worry about my family when it came to, like, you know. And also, I had to also worry about my mother, who I left Canada with. Let that sink in,
Yeah,
okay?
right? Like, yeah, we'll just not let that one.
You know, like, we came together. I lived with her at the time. She knew my financial situation, but I'm like, also have to worry about you too.
Yeah. She she's part of that. Okay, we're over an hour. We're over an hour. We have to like stop.
No, but my aunt and my cousins and my uncles, they actually took good care of me, and I was very grateful of that. But okay.
So again, it's not a stereotype that's generalized to everyone. It
Yeah.
is the person having to have conversations with those family members that have those expectations to say, hey, this is what I can do, and the rest, please take it to somewhere else, figure out a way. Because I think the one that gets me is you call me and you ask for money to start a business, and then next month you call me for money for electricity. I also know that Zim isn't the best economy, but also, sorry, I don't know where this also came from. I say also too much. In addition, there's a part where if you're going to say you start a business, I know there's a lot more informal businesses that thrive. So the idea of me giving you money is to set you up so that you don't come back. Not for you to keep coming back. This is not a, it's not a swimming pool. You can't keep dipping.
You give a, you give an arm, they want the whole hand. That's how the saying goes.
They want my whole body. Like, if short of me basically saying come into the space that I'm in, they will never be satisfied by it.
But also, like, I think with everything that we just said, it also shows that this is not all people in Zim. And it gets frustrating.
It surely isn't. I've been taken care of in Zim, never had to spend a dime, and even been given physical cash to a point where I'm like, you know what? I don't mind packing a suitcase and bringing new things because I know I'm going to be taken care of.
Right. And I'm like, I don't think that it is a whole, this is what Zimbabweans do, and this is what, like, the expectation for people in the diaspora. It's just they, some people experience that, and the group, the whole country is that. And it becomes unfair for people that are actually, like, that are not doing that.
Yeah, you take away from everyone else. Because now, as much as we are saying we don't like the stereotypes, we've also stereotyped everyone else.
That's true. The stereotypes usually come from some truths, right? And some...
Well, yeah, there's always some truth to it.
Some experience. But I also feel like us as Zimbabweans, we need to stop perpetuating those stereotypes and also stop spreading them. Like, the thing is, if you stand in a group of white people, you don't hear them talk about white people. Like, this is what white people do. They will point that person and be like, this is what that person did. So there's like Irish stereotypes, Dutch stereotypes, and all those things. But for the most part, I've not been in a room where they were like, oh, white people do this, white people that, white people this, white people are trash, white people are this. Where is in us? We feel free to spread these things about ourselves to the world that is already judging us harshly.
So is it because we don't know how to uplift, celebrate each other? What we know is how to pull each other down.
Well, it's easy. I feel like it's easy to pull each other down than it is to uplift. But also, I'm like, there is no takeaway by uplifting the person standing next to you.
It doesn't. You also don't lose nothing.
What?
You also don't lose nothing. In fact, your light shines brighter when someone else's light is shining.
Right.
Like, well, I'm going to fix your crown without having to say it. Like, I feel I've said this before. If I'm not going to say it to your face, best believe that I wasn't going to say it behind your back. Because I don't see the point of me spending an hour gossiping about you if I'm not actually going to tell you so that you can implement a difference.
That's true.
Right? Like, I'm going to say it to you. If I'm saying it outside of a conversation with you, is me saying, I say this to this person directly. If I haven't told you your stuff and you want to hear it, feel free to contact me.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm not here to, like, question people. But let's break the cycle of these stereotypes.
Honestly, these are not just Zimbabwean stereotypes. These are
They're just stereotypes.
Human behaviors that we just happen to come across. And you don't need to put a label on that. This is Zimbabwe. This is this. Like, it is what it is. All of us are trash. And let's just...
We're all growing. We're all going through, like, some growing pains. And we're all going to have to figure out what makes sense and what doesn't.
Yeah,
and while we're doing that, we need to be gentle with each other.
And also, let's allow each other to grow.
That's very true.
And let's allow each other to grow and...
So actually, I'm going to...
Huh?
I was going to say I'm going to end off our episode by acknowledging some businesses and some people that have been supporting us and saying thank you to everyone that participated at Tracy V. I see you, girl. I know you like responded immediately after I posted the questions. And Lokshin Culture supports us because we are Lokshin Culture. That sounds weird, ridiculous to say, but it's true. We support ourselves. We have to. And Uncle Brian's company has been one. There's someone else that I was supposed to acknowledge at some point that I forgot. It might have been Uncle Brian.
I don't know, girl. Acknowledge whoever you want to acknowledge. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's who I needed to acknowledge for this episode. And check those out on Instagram. I think it is at Uncle Brian Company and Lokshin Culture, spelled Lokxion, culture with a KKulture. And that was it from us. Amanda, you're supposed to say the ending.
Oh, we are here to encourage you to be selfish. Is that right?
You're supposed to say this was us at Love Isn't, where the you is for you, and we're here to encourage you to be selfish.
Oh, she said it, guys. She said it even better than I did. It's already almost two, okay? So forgive me.
Yeah, we're not having that. And this was quite a long episode. But we will see you guys next week. And we appreciate the likes, the listening, and the following. And we will continue to do this. They might be happening at 2 a.m., but we are recording because we believe in what we're doing. And we are unlearning and teaching ourselves certain things, but also hoping that you are part of this journey with us. Bye for now.
Bye.